But you know, last week or so, Mike gave a prophetic word. There's going to be many divine interruptions. So this week, about Thursday, I started studying on this, and it's a good thing because we had a divine interruption. So we'll have our prophetic, total prophetic next week, if that's all right with you guys. But it's interesting. I didn't know what Jana was going to share, and this scripture came to me to start out this morning. I'm going to talk about God's life. You know, one of the things he told me last January, he said, I want you to concentrate on life this whole year. Stay in life. Stay there. And then he reminded me of that, and he said, I still want you to stay in life. And we're going to talk about Zoe. Zoe is God's kind of life. It's God's life. It is him. It is his life. This the Zoe life, when Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have that life abundantly. It's the God kind of life. And we're living by the life of what, Jerry? Another. But this verse this morning he gave me, and think about what she just said. In Deuteronomy, verse chapter 30, it says, see, I've set before you this day life, good, death, and evil. And he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, that both you and your seed may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice and may cleave to him, for he is your life. Catch that. He is what? That's the Zoe life. He is your life. And that length of days that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So what? Choose life. This is a year to choose life. You'll have many opportunities to choose death if you want it. But don't. Stay in life. This year, stay in life. Stay in the Zoe kind of life. So why did Jesus come? I got to looking at this. Why did Jesus come? Why is this important? Because Jesus said in John chapter 17, we'll read that in a minute. He says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And in John 20:21, he said the same thing. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Well, why did the Father send him? Well, we are the body of Christ, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're here to do what Jesus came to do, didn't he? So this is a year to choose life. But in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of God is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So why did he come? To seek and to save that which was lost. That's one of the things he did. Now, and I'm going to go ahead and turn to John 17, because that's really the Lord's Prayer there. The other is the disciples' prayer, but this is the Lord's Prayer when he prayed for his disciples. 17, verse 1, John 17, 1. These words spake Jesus. He lifted up his eyes to heaven, said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify you. As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. What is this? Eternal God life. Isn't that incredible? And he says, as many as you've given him. And this is eternal life. Catch this. What is eternal life? You ever want to know what it is? And he says that you might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That they might know you. You know, and I just thought of that scripture in Jeremiah 9, 13, 14? Or Jeremiah 23, 9, 23 and 24. It says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his strength. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glory, glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me. Amen. Understand and what? Knows me. That I am the God which exercises loving kindness and righteousness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Is that close enough? That you understand and know me. That's what's important. And that's what eternal life is, to know the Father and know the Son. And the Holy Spirit. And I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Isn't that interesting? I have finished the work. And now, Father, glorify thou me with your own self, with the glory I had with you before the world was, from the foundation of the world. I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are you. For I have given unto them your word, which you gave me, and they have received it, lambano, They took it to themselves and have known surely that I came out from you. And they have believed and that you did send me. And I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me out of the world, for they are yours, for they're thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. What does that sound like, Alan? Union. And now I am no more in the world. That's the cosmos. But these are in the world. That's the divine order that's going on in this earth. But these are in there. And he says, I come, Holy Father, keep through your own name those you have given me, that they may be one, that's union, as we are one. While I was in the world, I have kept them in your name. Those you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now, says, I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is truth? Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word won't. Saints, it's very important that you let the word of God dwell in you richly. I mean, everything in the world is trying to rob the word of God from you. As you have seen me, he said, as you have sent me into the world, even so now I send them into the world. Now, you catch that? Why is it important for us to know why Jesus came into the world? Because as he came into the world, that's what we're to do. He says, as you have sent me, I have sent them. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified through your what? Truth. That word is truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. Who's that? Us. So he's praying for us that we will do what he did. Because we are the what? Body of Christ. That they all may be one. Say union. As thou, Father, art in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you've sent me. And that's what Jen is talking about right here. There is a separation for people to... Do you know that the thing about it is, there's two things going on. There's life going on and there's death going on. The God of this world, Satan, is still God over the old world. It's still very active. When Jesus destroyed sin once for all, sin is still in the world and it's alive in Satan and his camp. But as far as the new creation, it doesn't affect you. Because that which is born of God cannot sin. Because his seed remains in you. Now that's where you choose life and death. You choose which way you want to go. Okay. He says here. And he says, they all may be one as thou art in me, that the world may know that you've sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. You know what the glory is? Christ. He is the glory. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as you love me. Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me, that where I am they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you love me when? Before the foundation of the world. That's incredible. Oh, righteous, did you know God loved you from the foundation of the world? Did you know according to Ephesians 1 there we were in him from the foundation of the world? That he chose you before the foundation of the world to be holy and righteous before him in love? That's pretty incredible. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known you, and these have known that you've sent me. And I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love with you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's union. That's good stuff. You can camp out there for a while. That's what it's all. That's why he came. Matthew 5:17 says, think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. What does fulfill mean? For it to come to an end. He came to fulfill it. He didn't come to destroy it. He came to fulfill its demands, and he did. You know, we talked about this in the coffee shop this morning. I want you to look with me there in Hebrews chapter 9. This wasn't in my notes, but I want you to see when he said, I came to fulfill its demands. And in Hebrews chapter 9, I want you to see something here. Okay. It talks about here about the pattern of the priesthood. Now look in verse 24. It says, "For Christ is not entered into holy place made with hands, which is a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Hey, isn't that a good deal? He is ever in the presence of God. "Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now," say now, "now, once in the end of the world." Say "end of the world." "Hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Now I want you to catch this. We talked about the end of something. "Once in the end of the age," it says here, not the earth. "End of the age" is what this word says. "Once in the end of this age, he's appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." The old covenant and the old life is over. Amen. It came to an end right there. Not going to come to an end. It already has. Now, the God of this world, which is the old age, he's still the God of that age. And anytime someone goes to go back under the law to please God by the works of the flesh, you're under his control.
That's right.
Yep. And you're in that age. But Jesus came to put an end to the old age to give us a brand new. Jesus was the second Adam, and the minute the second Adam died, the old came to an end. Amen. By one offering, his death, he put this thing to death forever. How long is forever? Forever. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Resurrection. That's it. See, we're always putting all this at the end of time, some future date. Well, there's a future date coming, but I'm telling you, when Jesus said it's finished, the old was done away with, and the new covenant was established. Okay? And that's what we live in now. That's why we're here now. Matthew 20:28 says, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." He didn't come to be ministered unto. He came to minister and to give his life a ransom. Luke 4:43, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." Why are we here? To preach the gospel of the kingdom to all the whole world. "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness, and then the end will come." Amen? John 12:46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth into me should not abide in darkness." I've come as a light to the Gentiles and the Jews. Whosoever believeth into me will not abide in darkness. Luke 12:49, "I am come to send fire on earth. And what is it if it already be kindled?" One place it says there, "I wish it was already blazing." What's he saying? John said, "I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and burn the chaff, separate the wheat from the chaff." Why Jesus was saying, "I wish it was already blazing," because he wants the chaff separated from the wheat. That's what's happening. There is a separation happening, saints. I'm telling you, you've never seen such a battle against the message of grace as you're seeing the lines being drawn. And it's the difference between the old and the new. Amen? And this middle ground, as we've called it, which has never been, but there's the law, there's the religion of works, and there's religion of grace. But the biggest one is this one here, what they call Galatianism. It's called mixture. The mixture of the two. But what did Paul say? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And that's why God's sick of it. There's a separation coming. Jeremiah said, "Why is my pain perpetual, my wound refusing to be healed? Will you be to me as a deceitful brooks and waters that fail are uncertain?" He said, "I can't trust you, God." And God said, "Jeremiah, if you'll give up this unbelief, this mistaken tone of unbelief and despair, and you separate the precious from the vile, cleanse your heart from unworthy suspicions concerning my faithfulness, I will make you my mouthpiece. And they'll fight against you, but they'll not prevail over you. For I'm with you to save and deliver you. What's he saying? Separate the precious from the vile. What is that? Separate the old from the new. You know why we have such a much trouble? We talked about it in the coffee shop. The reason we're having such a struggle with the exchange and new life is because we hadn't separated. There has to be an end of one before you can start the second. And as long as you're trying to drag the old into the new, it's confusion. And every evil work. There is an end to the old and the starting. Jesus was the last Adam, but he's the second man. What does that mean? A whole new creation. Because if any man is in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, some things have become new. All things have become new. Spirit, soul, and body. The God of all grace. What does it say? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the appearing. When is the appearing happen? It's already happened. Jesus has already been manifested to us through the Holy Spirit. There is no waiting for an appearing. Everything that's in Christ has already been freely given to us. Everything. It's just a matter of having a revelation of what's been given to us in Christ. All right, here we go. Okay, John 3:17, we know what John 3:16 says. But John 3:17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." He didn't come to bring condemnation. He came to bring life and have it abundantly. John 9:39, "For judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And that's when the Pharisees said, "Are we blind also?" And he said, "Because you say you see, your blindness remains. Your sin remains." He said, "I've come that you might see." Okay? All right. In John chapter 12, let's go over there to John 12. 12. Okay, I want to read something here while we're there. John chapter 12. All I'm doing now is just giving you the beginning of something. This ain't going to be the message, just the beginning. John chapter 12. Okay, chapter 12. It says in verse 22, Philip come to tell Andrew, and Andrew told Philip, and he said to Jesus, Jesus said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a kernel of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings much fruit." There has to be a death before there can be a life. Say it. There has to be a death before there can be a life. "He that loveth his soul will lose it. But he that hates his soul in this world shall keep it until life eternal." When you see that word life, it's suke, it's soul. Now, I want to tell you something about life. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly." Abundant life is new soul life. It is soul life. When you got born again, you got a new spirit. But there's lots of Christians running around with new spirits that's still living out of an old soul. And there's no abundant life in the old soul. That's your mind, your will, and your emotion. This new soul life is a soul living by the very nature of another. It is called the divine nature. The new soul. And he says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also." He said, "If any man serve me, him will Father honor. Now," say now, "is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause I came. Father, glorify your name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thunders. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus said, "The voice came not because of me, but for your sake." Now, say now, is the judgment of this world. Did we just get through reading that in Hebrews? Yep. Now is the judgment of this world. Not going to be. Now. Yeah. Now shall the prince of this world be what? Cast out. When? Now. Okay? And if I be lifted up. All right. The judgment of this world came when Jesus died. The prince of this world was judged when Jesus died. He was cast out when Jesus died. Now catch it. And if I be lifted up from earth, I will draw all men unto me. That word draw in the Greek is drag. It's not just a little gentle drawing you. It's to drag you. I will drag all men to me. Amen? You know what? I like what Jerry said. I don't know where you got it. But he said here, this word men in here is in italics. If I be lifted up, I will drag all unto me. What did he drag into him? Sin, sickness, disease, and every other thing you and I should have had. When he was lifted up, he dragged everything that should have been ours to himself. So we didn't have to. That's a good thought, Jerry. I don't know where you heard it, but it was good. Because it's true. He took it all into himself. And he says, signifying what death he should die. To drag to himself. Now that's interesting. Okay, we see that going back to what we talked about earlier. Now that word draw, you know, I'll draw men. That word means, the example, I want to show you another example in John 6:44. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. That's the same word drag. And I will raise him up at the last day. Okay. Now we already established when the last day was when? When Jesus died. So when Jesus died, what happened? He raised us up with him. The resurrection. We've been raised to walk with him already. Don't wait till who knows when. If you've been risen with Christ, set your mind on things above. Isn't that what Jesus said there? And I will raise him up at the last day. How many of you have been raised with him to walk in the newness of life? How many of you are still waiting someday to be raised with him walking in the newness of life? See, now's the judgment. Now is everything done. When the Holy Spirit has come, he said, he will convict the world of sin, or convince the world of sin, righteousness, of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father. And you're going to be seated with me in heavenly places in Christ. And of judgment because the prince of this world has already been cast out. The prince of this world is not the prince over the world you and I live anymore. Amen. He's prince over that world that's in darkness and death. And he has nothing to do with this. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine. He's only the God of this world to those that living on the other side. He can't touch you on this other side. He's still the God of that other world. The prince of that other world. And he blinds you when you go back there. But that's not who you are. That's who you were. He's been cast out of the kingdom of light. He is part of the darkness, not light. And the only way he can blind you is when you start losing focus and get centered in on self again.
Amen.
All right. Okay. We got that established, didn't we? All right. And he says, and I will raise him up the last day. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That first made is a word. Both those maids are not the same. All right, the first made, he made him to be sin. The first made is P-O-L-O-E-O, P-O, to acquire to oneself, doing once for all and producing something, when produced, has an existence of its own. God made him, Christ, that way. God made him to be sin. He took that we might be made the righteousness of God. The second made is poleo. It means to acquire. No, the second made, I got that wrong. It's G-I-N-O-M-I-A-I. You know what that word means? He made us. It means to generate. Catch the word generate. To come into existence. To begin to be. Say, I begin to be.
Amen.
I begin to be. It means rebirth. It means exchange. Jesus, God made Jesus to become something, sin, so that we might be made new. A new creature in Christ Jesus is who we are. Is that good? See, sometimes it really, you look at the two words and you think they mean the same. They don't. They mean sometimes totally different things. And that's why God's given us so much stuff to look at. We can just flip a button and check it real easy. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you is enjoying this stuff? You know, this thing here is a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Isn't it? But there's a lot of good here. And there's a lot of evil. Choose life. Choose life that you may live. Amen. All right. John 12:47 says, "For I came not to judge the world, but what? To save the world." John 18:37, "To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free." Know means something, to be intimate with the truth, and it'll set you free. All right, 1 Timothy. Look here with me in 1 Timothy. I'm going to quit here about halfway through here in a minute. And y'all will be glad. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I got to get chapter 1. All right. First Timothy 1. Oh, this is so good. Let me go back to 12. "I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was abundantly with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I never have liked that. How many of you know why I don't like that word? I am chief. Because that's not who we are. And do you know what? You look up that Greek word, I am, you know what you're going to find? There's an alternative word that could have been used. It was. You like that better? I marked it out and wrote was in my Bible. Because that's not who he is. He was. He was a chief sinner. And why did he say that? Verse 16. "For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus might show forth his long suffering for a pattern to those which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." What he was saying is, I kill Christians. And so it doesn't matter what you ever do and you think I'm too bad, he can't save me. I'm an example for you. I murdered Christians. And God's long-suffering and what he did to me is a pattern to show you, you can never do too much not to receive God's grace. Because I was the chief sinner of all. Amen? Isn't it interesting? I knew if I dug long enough, I could find that word, and I found it in Strong's. I like was better. Because, you know, I know Paul well enough to know he's not claiming to still be a chief sinner. Because he's one that taught us that's not who you are, that's who you was. 1 Corinthians 6, about verse 11. Amen? All right. 1 John 3:8. "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So why did Jesus come? Destroy the works of the devil. Sin is a work of the devil. And sin is what you find under the old world system. But that's not who you are. Jesus died once for all to deal with sin forever. Amen? And that's why we're here, to destroy the works of the devil. All these lies that's going on, it's why he came. And that's why we're here. I don't know what it says, but I got Hebrews 2:14. And we're going to close here on this. Oh, I know what it says. It says, "For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death," that is the devil. Say the devil. "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. What is the works of the devil? Sin. He destroyed it once for all. As far as you're concerned, you don't have to live there no more. You don't have to go there no more. He did it. And he says, for verily he took not upon himself the nature of angels, but he took upon himself the seed of Abraham. In all things it behooved him to make, be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make exchange for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Okay, you got it? Amen. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, what? So in this present world. We are the body of Christ. Now, John 20:21, Jesus said, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Now, we'll start next time at John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So we're going to look at Zoe life next time. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to help us stay focused on life. With all the darkness and the destruction that's going around all around us, Father, we ask, Lord, that Psalms 91 be the Psalms we all meditate in this year. To say what the Lord is. Lord, we ask you, Lord, just help us to see that you're the God of Psalms 91. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I smell barbecue cooking.